In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today comes from Mark 3. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Here ends our text. When I think of these words, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind is the American Civil War. In the fight over slavery and states' rights, the nation was so drastically divided. In fact, President Lincoln knew these words, and he meditated on them. He knew that what Jesus said was true. If the nation remained divided, there was absolutely no way it could stand. The United States was divided so deep that brother turned against brother and neighbor against neighbor. In fact, even England tried to get in the fight and help the Confederate States so that the United States would no longer be united. If kingdom or house is turned against itself, it is moving towards self-destruction. This is why it's troubling to think that many of these divisions remain today. And we don't have to look far to see these divisions in our world. Perhaps we need not look much further than our own government. We're a society so wrought with divisions that it often impairs us from doing anything. And I'm not just talking about the government. How many conflicting ideologies do we have to tiptoe around each and every day? Homosexuality, abortion, assisted suicide, racism, and so on. Even worse, these divisions have pierced the church. Even in our own synod, there remain fights that cause deep divides. And thus, when we can think of Jesus' words here in Mark, we can understand it firsthand. We ourselves are divided. And to know that we are divided as a nation, as a church, as a home, means that we ourselves aren't immune to these divisions. In many ways, we can be the cause of these divisions. We divide ourselves from others when we tell a lie about a coworker, a friend, or even a family member. When we stop caring about each other and how our words and actions may affect those around us. We're divided when the only person who matters is ourself. And as we see, Mark tells us, "Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, 'He is out of his mind.'" Now, to understand, just earlier in Mark, Jesus had been going around. He had healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath, which was forbidden to do. And the crowds followed Jesus and watched him as he healed many people. He cast out many demons. But his family, hearing all of this, and even particularly a demon proclaiming Jesus to be the Son of God, thought this all to be absurd. And thus we also hear the scribes exclaim, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." Jesus' own family divided themselves from him, and so too did the scribes. Their thoughts remained on no one but themselves. And we know, when a house is divided, it cannot stand. In fact, Satan even knew this all the way back in the Garden of Eden. As we heard in Genesis, Adam and Eve had to hide themselves from God. And not only were Adam and Eve divided from one another, but man together was divided from God himself. In fact, this is what sin does. It divides us from one another and from God. As one sin leads to another, it also then leads to more division, more strife. So we can see after Adam and Eve sinned, how their sin led to more division, as they themselves decided to play the blame game. Lord, it was her fault. She gave it to me. No, it wasn't my fault. The serpent tricked me. It's his fault. It's anyone's fault but our own. And there was division between man and God. So much so that the house was not able to stand. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. The problem is, it's our house that's divided because of us, because of our sin, because of our own self-centeredness. Yes, indeed, we have been bound to sin and in sin. What a wretched state we are in. And because of this, Satan has bound us, and he has come to plunder our house. But when we think of these divisions, how can they be undone? We look around and we see how broken and divided our world is. In many ways, it doesn't even seem like these divisions can be undone. And we know society is broken. We know we are broken. We've divided ourselves from one another, and especially from God. Yet here again, the words Mark records for us. And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. Who is the strong man but Christ alone? Through Christ, Satan has an end. Christ is the one who binds the strong man. He is the one who binds Satan, and he has come to plunder Satan's goods. And what are those goods? You. You're the one whom Christ seeks. He has bound your captor and has come to bring you back. Christ has divided you from Satan. As God says in Genesis concerning the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Christ has come to put enmity, to divide you from Satan, and reunite you with God. So again I ask, how can our divisions be undone? Through Christ. Christ is the one who spans our divisions. And in fact, he'll never stop reaching across those. Through his death on the cross, he has given you the power to heal those broken relationships, those divisions that have haunted us for our entire life. On the cross, Christ suffered every division for you. He was rejected by society. He was abandoned by his disciples. He was even cut off from his own heavenly Father. He suffered our fate that we may be united again with God. And in fact, through his very body and blood, right here on the altar, which we come to eat and to drink, he unites us with himself, with God, and most of all, with one another. Here at the table, we join as brothers and sisters in Christ by partaking of one body and one cup. Here at the altar, we share in the forgiveness which Christ won for us, which heals all of our divisions. Through his very death on the cross, Christ united us with God so that we may be united with each other again. Surely Christ says, "Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter." Christ has given us the power to heal those broken relationships by forgiving one another and also by being united right here in this holy meal. By forgiving one another, we continue to bind Satan. For there is one thing that Satan doesn't want: for man to be reunited with one another, and most of all, with God. And this is what Christ says concerning his family. In looking about as those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." So yes, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what unites us, as we forgive and are forgiven, as we love and are loved. We're united in doing God's will. We're united in Christ. So no longer are we divided from God, but Christ has come to reunite us. Through his death and resurrection, Christ has won for us this very forgiveness. Forgiveness that crosses our great divisions. Forgiveness that heals our broken relationships. Forgiveness that has reunited us with God. In Jesus' name, amen.